This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the executive director and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. He joins us in studio for a discussion of a long, we got a long list of things here to get to. And the first thing we want to say is you have a new pocket constitution, and we're going to give away a copy of this as well during this hour. So keep listening for that. This is beautiful, and this isn't just the constitution. This is there's a whole lot of stuff in here.
Yeah, there's an essay that on the constitution, what it means, all the important Supreme Court cases. There's a quiz at the back to see if you can pass the quiz if you know the basic information about the constitution. And most Americans I know can't pass the quiz. So the reason we give these away free, one year we gave away about 20,000 of them. It just depends on the demand. But this is the new updated version with new cases in it and some more information. But our goal is to try to get people to read the Constitution, and specifically the Bill of Rights, because I keep telling people the Bill of Rights is only 462 words. And if you don't know what's in those 462 words, I tell you today, I mean, the more I study what's happening in our government and even around the world, the more, I don't want to use the word frightened, but that's basically it about what's happening. And people, we have to hold our government accountable these days. We have to be very, very careful. We see what's happening in the news with the Libby thing and all those.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's obviously, it was Thomas Jefferson who, and a great quote with Thomas Jefferson, just to paraphrase, he said, "In terms of government, let me hear no more confidence in men, but bind them down with the chains of the Constitution."
Right,
and that's
right.
That's what we have to do. But it's up to the people. All recent polls conducted, most Americans don't even know what's in the First Amendment. Now, I'll tell you this. If you can't name the five freedoms in the First Amendment, you're really not a good American. So learn your Constitution. There's no excuse. We'll give you one free.
Give you one free, and we're going to give away one free during this hour, so keep listening. You talk about, you mentioned around the world. We were talking before we went on the air just a few minutes ago. We were talking about the recent news out of France, that there's this new law in France now that is basically making it illegal to be a citizen journalist. So if you come upon police beating someone, you are committing a crime if you pick up your cell phone camera and record that event.
Yeah, and the thing is that it would prohibit you, well, things like the Rodney King beating, you wouldn't know about that, or such incidences as Michael Richards' racist rant a couple months ago. So,
right.
I think it's, again, the First Amendment. We have a First Amendment in our Constitution, and obviously France is not shored up enough in their legal rights. We do, though, but it's like everything else. If you don't know what's in the First Amendment, it's difficult to protect your rights. But in America, we do have that, and those are the kind of things we have to treasure. But these are the kind of things that, as Americans, we have to be concerned about, because these are allies, and we should protest this. This is not good stuff, and we want to make sure that wherever people are, their human rights are protected.
John Whitehead is our guest. He's the founder and executive director of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. If you'd like to join the conversation, comment, or question, you pick up your phone. It's 977-1070. John, what are your thoughts on the Libby trial? Making big news recently, guilty on, I think, 4 of 5 counts. If you spend any time really watching this case closely, Karl Rove, Vice President Cheney's fingerprints are all over everything. It's pretty obvious what was going on. And yet, it seems like a lot of the media now, we were talking with Eric Bollert in the last half hour, a lot of the media, certainly the conservative media, is really trying to get past it as quickly as possible and say, well, it's really not a big deal. Yeah, is it a big deal?
I think it's an important issue. I mean, it's part of George Bush's legacy now. I mean, Reagan had a Iran-Contra, Clinton had the Lewinsky thing and the impeachment. And as one journalist for the Washington Post said today, whenever they mention George Bush in the future, this is going to be part of it. It could get worse. You know, as the Senate Judiciary Committee is considering holding hearings on it and calling the prosecutor in, Fitzgerald, for questioning, find out what more he may know about this. But interesting comment last night from one of the jurors on television who was interviewed, and he said, we knew this guy was a fall guy. It's just, you know, all the information we had. And
they were disappointed that they didn't have who the jurors believed were the real culprits in front of them on the stand, and we didn't. And in fact, nobody was charged with the crime of releasing the name. I mean, he was just charged with the crime of lying to prosecutors and obstructing justice in the investigation of who released the name.
And the thing is that what we were talking about a little earlier, government can't be trusted. I mean, just generally, even local government has to be held accountable. And the people who wrote our Constitution understood that, but most Americans don't. We tend to be so easy to trust our politicians, and how many times does it take to be burned by people? And we saw with this Walter Reed scandal, we don't even take care of our troops. I mean, what a breakdown in the moral obligation just to take care of basic people over there that are dying and being horribly mutilated to protect our freedom. So I think it just goes to the fact that we've got to stop trusting these people and scrutinize our politicians and make sure that a few of the other things we're going to talk about a little later that are even scarier in terms of what may be happening is that we've got to wake up out there as Americans. People listening to this program tonight, you're really going to have to do your job. It was Jefferson again who said that the key to a constitutional republic, keeping our right to what many people believe is a democracy, is an educated citizenry. And what did he mean by that? Not reading the latest novel or whatever and knowing the top what the best diet book on the top 10 bestseller list, but knowing your rights. That's the basic education.
Just being aware of what is in that Constitution.
If you don't know what's in the Third Amendment right now, you're uneducated. You're not a good citizen.
John Whitehead, the executive director and founder of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Caller, go ahead.
This is Floyd from Albemarle calling again. Comment on what you're discussing with the Libby conviction. It's interesting how you're saying everyone knows it was a cover-up. Everyone knows it traces back to the president or Dick Cheney. The question I want to ask you is, what was the crime?
What was the crime?
Yeah, what was the crime that was committed? Everything traces back. What traces back? What crime was committed? The jury didn't find that any crime was committed as far as the only crime was in Libby's bad memory. What was the crime you're discussing that traces back to the president and the vice president?
Clearly, there were four crimes committed that he was found guilty of.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with the president or the vice president. That has to do with Libby's memory. What crime was committed?
I think you're really oversimplifying it, that it had to do with Libby's memory. To say that he was just being forgetful and that there wasn't an intentional effort.
Let me finish
the sentence, Floyd. There wasn't an intentional effort on the part of Libby to throw the investigation off its tracks. The crime that was committed was revealing the name of a secret CIA operative. That's a federal crime, and nobody's yet even charged with that.
Okay, that's never actually been established yet, that she was a covert agent.
These are Limbaugh talking points. This is absolutely a verified fact. Everyone that worked with her verified that she was a secret operative working covertly overseas. When this name was first released in the press, the very first article, the CIA sent an official letter to Congress saying, we believe a crime was just committed. Right when it happened, immediately after it happened, when it first appeared in the paper, that is no secret. And to say that she wasn't an operative, that's after the fact conservative media trying to massage this story to say, well, you know, maybe she wasn't that secret. Maybe it really wasn't a crime. And I think you're falling victim to that.
I don't think so. If what I've been reading about, I haven't read everything, but what I've been reading about, it was never testified in the Libby case that she was, in fact, a covert operative that was revealed by Libby or anyone. And, in fact, Libby wasn't the first person to out her.
Well, yeah, I think what's going to happen right now, there's probably going to be an investigation. So what we're going to have to wait on is for all the facts to be put on the table. But I think, obviously, more is going to come out on this. There's a possibility of presidential pardon here, though. That's really being put on the table. So,
yeah.
And
I think it's absolutely naive. And yes, Floyd, I'm calling you naive. I think it's absolutely 100% naive to believe that there wasn't an intentional outing of the CIA operative as a vendetta against Wilson, and that they tried to cover that up after the fact. And what we're seeing now is the conservative press is massaging and spinning this story with a bunch of talking points that come right out of the Republican National Committee to say that, well, it really wasn't lying. He was just had a forgetful memory. And they really didn't out the woman because everybody sort of knew in Washington that she was, you know, a CIA operative. And so it's really not a problem. It's not really a crime.
And yeah, if she wasn't a CIA operative, I don't think we'd be talking. But there's a couple of really good articles that just came out on the web today. One is one by David Korn called Placing Libby Above the Law on TomPaine.com and Sense. I suggest you go read that and a few others. And these are by people who know, who work in the Washington scene that have been covering this for a long time, and they all seem to say the same thing that Coy is saying, that she was definitely a CIA operative.
Yeah, let's change gears if we can. We're talking about political vendetta. Let's talk about some other political vendettas in the media recently, and let's listen first to former District Attorney David Iglesias testifying before Congress recently about a phone call he got from Senator Pete Domenici.
I was at home. This was the only time I'd ever received a call from any member of Congress while at home during my tenure as United States Attorney for New Mexico. Mr. Bell called me. I was in my bedroom. My wife was nearby, and he indicated that the senator wanted to speak with me. He indicated that there were some complaints by some citizens. So I said, okay. And he says, here's the senator. So he handed the phone over, and I recognize the voice as being Senator Pete Domenici. And he wanted to ask me about the corruption matters or the corruption cases that have been widely reported in the local media. I said, all right. And he said, are these going to be filed before November? And I said, I didn't think so. And to which he replied, I'm very sorry to hear that. And then the line went dead.
So former District Attorney of New Mexico, David Iglesias, testifying before Congress recently. Up to 8 district attorneys were fired recently by the Bush administration. And a lot of this information is coming out daily about what has happened here. But it looks like, and this is no secret, this has been documented, that the Justice Department sent a list of U.S. district attorneys around the country who were not towing the administration line as they would like, sent that list to the White House. And then there were firings that followed after that. So people were identified.
And some of these very well-regarded attorneys, Daniel Bogdan out of Nevada, Paul Charlton Iglesias, another Carol Lamb. She was she's the one that prosecuted Randy Duke Cunningham. And award-winning type of attorney. And the thing is, too, the Congressional Research Service did a study to see how many people had actually, attorneys had been dismissed in this case over the years, and it found that that of the 486 U.S. attorneys confirmed since 1981, no more than 3 were ever forced out in 25 years. And all of a sudden, you've got 8 in the space of time. So it does seem to point to some kind of political vendetta, and the call that Iglesias is talking about, obviously, like, it was very political.
Yeah, I was reading recently a news article said some former Justice Department officials say they believe the administration's moves are a politically driven power grab aimed not only at a tighter grip on policy from Washington, but also at creating openings with which to reward their friends and build up a bench of conservative loyalists positioned to serve in powerful posts in future administrations.
I think that it's obvious, and these are from people on the both the left and the right that I deal with out of D.C., Washington, D.C. They're reading of the matter, and these are good people, you know, whether I agree with them politically or not. But there is a bunker mentality in the White House now, and these are bunker mentality reactions to things.
Just to start into firing people
they're under seats. You know, some polls show 75% of the American people want to get out of that war in Iraq, and I go back again and keep saying what democracy means is you listen to public opinion. They don't seem to be listening to public opinion. And it's a little disquieting because that's the basis of government. They have to be accountable to the people. And it doesn't seem like, again, a few of the more things we're going to talk about here, a couple of really disturbing things. It's the Bush White House this time, and I'm not a Bush basher, but I just am really concerned constitutionally what's going on. And these kind of things here are a little frightening because These should not be political firings over these. You hire good people, you want them to do their job, and they should do their job, whether it's partisan or not.
John Whitehead is the executive director and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Steve is on the line. Steve, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you today?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I'm not sure you're doing your audience a service. I heard you go after that other guy who called in, and you know that's fair. But I think part of the frustration that he was voicing is if you're going to talk about any of these issues, you really need to be more complete in terms of what you do communicate. Talking about these judges that have been, these attorney generals or whatever that have been replaced around the country without presenting both sides of the story, I don't think helps us. It's just as earlier when you had the Media Matters guy on, you did not go to his website. I've looked at their website numerous times. They clearly state on their website they only go after conservative news outlets. So he's not presenting a balanced opinion on bias in the media. He's presenting a biased opinion about conservative media, just as you just did when you went after that guy with Rush Limbaugh on the talking point. So I think, you know, we don't know a lot of things. We don't know about the Libby trial. What we do know, apparently, from what has been published is that he has been convicted, but the issue of who outed the woman in the beginning was not part of that trial, and he was not convicted of that, and that's what I think the guy was trying to say. So if that was the original crime, who knows what the story is, but you assumed you knew, and I'm not sure that that's fair.
Oh, well, thank you for the criticism. Did you have a question?
I guess that my question would be when you have guests on, do you go through any kind of vetting process where you determine where they're coming from, what their bias might be, and ensure that what they present is unbiased and fairly portrays, you know, the information that they claim it is?
The answer to the first question is yes, and the answer to the second question is no. I don't care if anybody has a bias, and I welcome anyone to the program who has a bias, left, light, center, up, down, green, blue, purple. I don't care. That's the purpose of this program. You bring something to the table. You bring an opinion to the table. If you have a bias, you have a bias. Most people do, actually. So that's not a problem. I have a bias. I tend to be a Jeffersonian moderate and damn proud of it. Let's continue our discussion with John Whitehead, the executive director and founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. We were talking during the break about Ann Coulter's remarks, sort of dovetailing with the caller who said, you're not presenting both sides of the story. And we were talking about how, well, the other side of the Libby story isn't really out there. It's still sort of buried. We don't really know exactly what happened. I think, just speaking for myself, I think it's pretty obvious that there was a cover-up. There was a political vendetta against Joe Wilson, and a lot of people in America agree with that. But then we started talking about Ann Coulter, whom you know and have talked with and have been interviewed by before, and her recent remarks that the conservative group, when she used slander against John Edwards.
Yeah, referring to him as a faggot. You know, that's abhorrent, but the thing we have to remember in this country is, and I keep telling people this, when you study what the Founding Fathers believed, it was Madison who said the purpose of the First Amendment is to protect the minority against the majority, and usually the minority are those people out there that are going to say abhorrent things and do the things that no one likes, and the purpose of the First Amendment, it's a steam valve. It lets people blow off steam because you don't want them going underground and fomenting hate, whatever their viewpoints may be. I'd rather see that guy on the street corner or that lady on the street corner who has the what we consider to be the abhorrent views. Let them talk. I mean, we don't want another Ku Klux Klan where they go underground and start trying to go after African Americans. So the way to keep America free is to express opinions, sometimes biased. And it's very difficult sometimes to give both sides of a viewpoint if you don't have both sides. And so are we supposed to be quiet if we don't have both sides? So I don't think so. I think that if people who have a microphone, if there are things that are important, we should talk about them. And if people, it's great to have callers call in because that's what, again, the whole idea of freedom is about. People
absolutely.
To disagree. It's a viewpoint.
Absolutely.
And you let them talk. So that's great.
I love it. 977-1070. Summer is on the line. Summer, thank you so much for the call and for joining the program. Go right ahead. Summer, are you with us? Oh, we lost Summer. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to join the conversation. You had an essay recently. Of course, your essays are published around the country, and hundreds of newspapers.
And they can read the full essay on our website at Rutherford.org.
Right, right. Your essay, Do Enemy Combatants Have Any Rights, about habeas corpus, which I still, of all the things that have occurred in the last 7 years with the Bush administration, this power structure in our country, that to me is the most chilling. That they have basically scrapped habeas corpus, which was one of the central tenets of the Revolution of 1776, because they had seen people disappear under King George and seen people just, happened to Jim? I don't know. The soldiers came and got him, and he's gone.
The colonists were labeled enemy combatants. They were put in jail. They couldn't get out of jail. And that's what habeas corpus is all about. Most Americans I say, what does habeas corpus mean? They look at you with that blank look. It's the Latin for bring forth the body. And what it really gives you in the Constitution, it's in Article 1, Section 9 of our Constitution. It gives you the right to be brought before a neutral judge just to present evidence that you might not be guilty. And in October, there are two things that happened in October that were pretty disturbing. This is not the most disturbing. There's one other thing we want to talk about. But the Bush administration lobbied very hard to get the Military Commissions Act passed, which does away with the idea of habeas corpus for enemy combatants and strips any federal courts the power to review their cases at places like Guantanamo, which are American installations. And I think that there are several things here. One is, if anybody under American control deserves the right to go before a neutral judge and say, all right, I may not be guilty. And the thing about the people down in Guantanamo, only about 8% are even considered Al-Qaeda agents, and 86%, listen, almost 90% were captured by bounty hunters and brought there. They weren't captured by Americans. So you've got a lot of people have been there for 5 years, and they've never gone before a judge to say, I'm not guilty. So the question is, should we give them that right? We're not saying let them go. That's not what habeas corpus is about. Habeas corpus says, just let them present a case. And it could be done very briefly, even down at Guantanamo. 5-3 federal judges down there, hold some hearings and see if they're guilty.
But, John, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of conservatives and supporters of the president who say, these are rights for Americans. I'm not going to give these rights to guy from Afghanistan.
That's under debate. I mean, the Supreme Court's going to hear this issue. And, you know, the Constitution doesn't talk distinctly to citizens. It uses the word person. And many people argue that it concerns persons. But we have to look at our history. The whole idea of habeas corpus was based on the Magna Carta, William Blackstone, the great common law jurist. All those things came to America. Blackstone says anybody held for a crime that didn't have a chance to present evidence that they were not guilty, that was the ultimate form of tyranny. We don't want the world to think that. I mean, there was a poll done just recently, and I think America ranked just above North Korea at the bottom of being the most hated country in the world. It's a war of ideas out there against terrorism, and we're losing the war of ideas when we look like we're oppressors. So it's time to at least look like we believe in human rights, and not let these people go. No one's saying that, but just give them the basic form of justice.
But the rights war on trial lawyers, of course, big supporters of the Democratic Party, the trial lawyers, and so the right has gone after the trial lawyers as a way to get to the Democratic Party money. But it also sort of feeds that venom that, I don't want lawyers involved in the war on terror. They'll ruin it, and next thing you know, they'll be letting guilty people off.
Yeah, that's up to judges, yeah. If someone's not guilty, they should be let off. And a number of people at Guantanamo have basically been let go after a while, no charges filed. So I think we just look really bad to the world, and it's a really easy thing to solve by just sending a couple judges down there and holding some hearings. And if they're guilty, they're guilty. You keep them there.
John Whitehead is in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. You had another recent essay titled The Late Great American Nation. Tell us what that was about.
Yeah, this is the second thing that happened in October, and these were really pushed through before the Democratic Congress got in. And I'm no fan of the Democratic Congress, for all you Democrats out there. I'm not a conservative or Democrat. I'm just right in the middle. I'm a constitutionalist, and I think we should really protect our Constitution. But the Bush administration pushed through some stealth provisions into this mammoth defense budget bill. It's 591 pages. It's like reading Greek when you read it. It's the Defense Appropriations Act. And two things happened there. And here's the president now, under this. And the reason it was done as a rider, which means there was no public debate, and no one knew about it until several weeks ago. And this happened in October. The New York Times broke an editorial saying, "Can you believe this happened? The president now can declare martial law, bring the military in, and most any condition he wants to, under breakouts of disease, natural disaster." But there's a key phrase in the rider, which is called "in any other condition." In other words, anything the president thinks is necessary to declare martial law, he can do that. No president's ever had that power. It does away with the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which made it a crime to use the military as a police force. It does away with the Insurrection Act of 1807, which says that the president can only use the military as a domestic police force to put down a state rebellion, which today, obviously, you can't have that. It just doesn't exist anymore. And what happens is, if you get a standing army, the Bill of Rights is gone. There are no elections. There's no judicial oversight. And there are those who fear if there's another, even small terrorist attack, portions of the country could go under martial law. The only other, basically only time that ever happened was under Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War, and he was greatly criticized for that. But I think these are things, and I call it the late great nation of America. We've got to really wake up out there, and our Congress really lets us down when they don't debate these issues. We need to know that these things are under consideration. And I think that this particular issue would have come up. I mean, there are Democrats, there are Republicans, there's Libertarians, there's Independents who have been outraged over it, and they are now, just as the information is getting out. But it's too late.
So this has passed as law now.
It's law.
That the president can call forth the army to mobilize in action on American soil for absolutely any reason he wants.
And
that has not existed before. That power has never existed.
Well, it would allow military roundups. And you know, Halliburton has, what, that $385 million contract to build detention camps. They're already being built in this country. And I think we have to be really naive to think that's just for illegal aliens. They're being built all over the country. These are barbed wire installations.
And they're being built now?
They're being built now. And there are some who already exist around the country. But the thing is that we've moved into, and I keep telling people this, and why we should be alarmed, we've moved into a police state very, very gradually. This kind of power no president should have, especially when any other condition. Here's the other thing. He didn't even have to tell Congress. He doesn't have to notify Congress until after he's done it. So there's no preparatory debate. There's no advice from Congress. So what it does essentially is it collapses all three branches of government into one single branch. That's the executive branch.
One individual, really.
And it's essentially a dictatorship. I'm not saying Bush would do it, but it's set there for any future president who might go off in a second. You know, we've had some touch and go with people like Richard Nixon on up. So I think that Madison said it really clearly, it's proper to take alarm at the first experiment with our liberties. And this is, we've gone beyond that phase. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but the more I see of these things, it's just, it gets to the point where you're saying, and people write me now that who've read these, what can we do? And again, our pocket constitution is free. If you want to call our office at 978-3888, I'll give you a free one, read it. Talk to your congressman about provisions like this. I mean, it's time to – maybe this can be repealed. You know, and eventually a court's going to hear this case, but that's going to take years. And so, I mean, Americans have to get mobilized. Remember, the Constitution starts with those three beautiful words, "We the people." It's our responsibility.
We have been enjoying a wonderful conversation with John Whitehead, the executive director and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. Online at rutherford.org. You can read all his essays there. And the phone lines are open, folks, if you would like to join this conversation before we close it down at 6 o'clock at 977-1070. Gary is on the line. Gary, welcome to the program. You're on with John Whitehead. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Coy, very much. It's good to hear John on the air. John, I really appreciate all your work for liberty and freedom. You stand up when a lot of people won't, and for one, I really appreciate it. I wanted to ask you a question. In all of your time as the outspoken defender of the Constitution that you are and the things you've written about, have you ever felt like you've experienced any repercussions, either the IRS coming to look at your tax returns or being under surveillance, or whether you've had any FBI, hints that FBI has looked at you, that kind of thing? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Thanks, Gary.
Yes. 7 or 8 years ago, we were under surveillance from the National Security Agency. We knew that, and we were actually told that. And we were audited once when we got involved in the Paul Jones case. The fellow was in there less than 30 days. We were really clean financially, but it was...
The organization was, yeah, or your family?
No, the organization.
Okay.
And he was in and out in 30 days. He apologized. This is the IRS. We're a very, very clean organization. We always said we're a member of the Better Business Bureau. We're in the top 1%. We're in the Better Business Bureau with no qualifications, and that means that we were clean. We're just absolutely clean.
Who told you the NSA was monitoring you?
Well, we saw the vans, there was a fellow that came in to do a sweep of our offices for bugs, and he said, yeah, someone's listening in, and I told him what we saw, and he said, that's definitely the NSA. But that's what he told us, but we were being watched by somebody, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just part of American life. I just keep people, don't be so naive when we were told, 3 or 4 months ago that the National Security Agency really wasn't listening in to our phone calls. I think any president can order that if you're considered a threat. And even with the recent develops with this, the martial law aspect of what can happen now with the president, I mean, which is really, really, if you want to say something far out, that's so far out that it's hard, difficult to believe that. And to be honest with you, I think Congress has totally let us down. And I had hopes with this new Congress, but I'm not sure about that either. I think there's a certain... people have said, well, are they puppets? Not so much puppets, but I think there's just a lack of moral backbone to stand up and say what's wrong out there. And when you have people like Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General, go before the Senate and actually say that habeas corpus is not in the Constitution, he said that. And Arlen Specter jumped him on that. I mean, where are they coming from? He is not that stupid.
Yeah, I love
Arlen. Why is he saying that?
I love Arlen Specter's comments to Gonzalez. He says, you may be treading on your interdiction and violating common sense, Mr. Attorney General, to say that habeas corpus is not in the Constitution. It says explicitly the right of habeas corpus shall not be violated.
Yeah, it's very, very clear. Yeah, well, yeah, it's just, it's been there since, been there for 400 years. So, but yeah, so I think there are repercussions. I think in this area, I get repercussions from people who disagree with me. I get threatening letters. We have had the FBI. I've had death threats several times. We've had the FBI in. They've been really helpful, giving us tips on how to open the mail and those kind of things. So, there are people, a lot of people out there with hate, and there are a lot of people who speak with those people who have hate.
Yeah.
And if they want to hate, let them be out in public. That's what, I'd rather have them out in public than writing me threatening letters.
And there's a people like Ann Coulter who make a lot of money off of fanning the flames of that hate. And we were talking during the break that the folks who, go after people in the streets, you know, not the leaders, but the folks who have a lot more hate than somebody like Ann Coulter, who's just sort of sitting back. She'll throw a few bombs and say, oh, can't you take a joke, and then cash her checks. But there's people out there, John, who take someone like Ann Coulter very seriously.
She has, people like Ann have to have an audience, and she obviously has a large one. She has, what, 4 bestsellers?
Is that what it is?
4 best-selling books.
For you personally, what's the most chilling thing that you've seen in your career? Are you seeing it now with your concern over some of the things happening?
Yeah, I think since 9/11, I mean, it's been really, really clear. I mean, it's just been obvious. And again, there are really fine conservatives, people like Bruce Fein of the Heritage Foundation, who helped draft the Iraqi Constitution. He speaks to our students in the summer. He was an assistant attorney general under Reagan. He's scared to death what's going on. He said our Constitution's being torn apart. Then I meet people on the left that say the same thing. I see libertarians say the same thing. I see people like Ron Paul, the Republican out of Texas, a really good congressman, one of the few that actually stands up and speaks, frightened about what's happening. And but again, it goes back to two things. One is the Congress is letting us down, but who is the Congress responsible? It's responsible to us. You know, when the founders wrote the Constitution, remember that the First Amendment starts off, Congress shall pass no law. Congress is considered the most threatening branch. Today, it's the weakest branch. And so, like I say, everything's being collapsed into the executive, and we're going to have one man making these really awesome decisions, and we can't allow that to happen.
John Whitehead, the executive director and founder of the Rutherford Institute. It's online at rutherford.org. And the phone number for your office, if somebody wants a pocket constitution?
Yeah, free one, 978-3888.
978-3888. is the number for the Rutherford Institute. And if you'd like two tickets to see Neil Bortz at the Omni Hotel in Charlottesville, caller number 10 at 977-1070 right now. Pick up the phone, give a call, 977-1070, caller number 10, two free tickets to Neil Bortz. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SeavillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.